of Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with kratom-fueled rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a crispy and crunchy 365 degrees Celsius to keep a sin flow stages out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Hugo and Jeremy? Is it working? Can you feel it?
Oh, yeah.
Hugo, can you feel it?
We lost Hugo already.
Oh, my God. All the way up.
There he goes.
Drone strikes everywhere. Ah. Welcome back, Hugo. Welcome back. So, anyway, I'm Lou, and we have Jeremy and Hugo, possibly, that are filling in tonight. Lisa has been droned by bad weather out there in Maryland, however you pronounce it. So anyway,
yeah. But the East Coast is getting hit pretty hard because we've been getting bashed all day. So up here in New York, so
New Yorkistan is going okay. Mexistan is going okay, and Michistan is just 36.5 degrees. So
Mexistan is doing all right. We're already getting some benefit from that wall over there. The polar winds are not getting here.
Yeah, if there's gonna be a wall put up somewhere, it needs to be put on the Canuckistan border. Keep the cold weather out.
Yeah. It's working for me right now, at least. It's pretty, you know, sunny and getting a little bit chilly, but it's all right. It's all right.
So a quick question for you, Hugo. Are you guys, like, being inundated with Americans coming to Mexico trying to escape for a better life yet?
Not yet, but I think there will come a point where that will start happening. I mean, we got a couple libertarians there in Acapulco and some other places, and a bunch of retirees near a lake in central Mexico. But, you know, they've been there for a long time already. But I think there will be changes, probably. It's always, I think it's mostly for the worse, both here in Mexico and in the U.S. So when things get worse, we'll see. We'll see the bands of refugees. No, I don't think that's the word, but yeah.
Yeah, it would be. So when people start coming over there, just start shouting at them, say, "Hey, it's not moving. It's called immigration, and there's a process."
Yeah, I'm gonna rally for people to come here legally.
Yeah, are you gonna demand that wall be put up? Are you gonna demand that wall be put up and America pays for it?
We're gonna put up a wall right next to the other, but on this side. So if you tear down the American side, there will be the Mexican wall. No, not really. We're in favor of people moving whatever they want. At least I am. I guess you guys are too, right?
Yeah, I don't care where people, you know, want to move. But, you know, as long as if you want to try to pay your own way and get your own land somewhere else, by all means, go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't worry about the trade deficit between the Mexican states, and I don't worry about the Arizona and Coahuila or whatever. Whatever state is next to Arizona, let's say, on the border.
Something I want to touch on, and this is kind of an economic fallacy, but there are actually no trade deficits between states, countries, cities, or anything like that, because cities, states, countries do not trade with each other. Buyers and sellers trade with each other. So if you want to go by this silly, nonsensical notion of a trade deficit, I have a trade deficit with Walmart because I spend a lot more money with them than they spend with me.
Yes, yeah, that's a much more.
Unless you're a Walmart employee.
Even then, I'm sure you're still probably finding a way to.
But I'm not a Walmart employee. If I was a Walmart employee, I would have said someplace else. So, yeah, this whole nonsense of a trade deficit, not always is stupid because it thinks in collectivist thought, and it's really trying to measure something that doesn't even exist. What it really does, and this really goes back to the Marxist roots, the idea that the seller, the producer, the person who's getting money is ripping off the other person because the only thing that the other person is walking away with is a good or a service. I remember this one time I was standing in line at all places Walmart, and this skinny, wiry guy was getting ready to walk out. He just got done bagging all his stuff up at the U-Scan, and he sees one of his friends, and he's got his arms up. But he's got, like, four bags in each hand, something like that. And like I say, he's a skinny, wiry guy. So anyway, he's holding up these bags, and he almost tips over because they probably weigh more than he does. And he's like, Walmart got all my money. And I'm thinking, you have so much stuff in your bags that you are about to tip over, and you're talking about how Walmart got your money. Seriously?
Yeah, like there's some difference between a value somehow. Basically, he's demonstrating that he's better off, right? Leaving the store with all the things he needs.
And if I was Walmart, I'd say, dagnabbit, I got ripped off because all my goods are gone, and I lost all these, and all I have to show for it are these worthless green paper rectangles.
Not even any gold.
Yeah, right?
Not even any Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So,
I should have used the preferred altcoin for the feed in my example.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there's I'm drawing a freaking blank here. Legal tender laws that you have to use Bitcoin. There's legal tender laws that you have to talk about Bitcoin. You can't talk about anything else unless you have like express written consent by MWD.
Yeah. Yes. I think
we are covered by a Bitcoin no-gov license after all.
I think it involves some kind of fine too. I think you're fined in BIPs too. Now you owe Michael BIPs for not mentioning BIPs.
Why don't I even have my BIPs?
Well, I was going to say you need to get on that, but no, you don't. You're probably just going to store yours in the Bank of Lisa if you don't get it in time for the deadline, he said, right?
Yeah, they're on deposit at Lisa Bank.
Exactly.
They're in a safety. They're in a safe deposit box next to the crate of Kratom. which sounds like. I keep hearing rumblings like the DEA is going to move forward and put it as a Schedule I narcotic, and I guess they're just re-stepping up their efforts, and people are writing letters and possibly waving their flags really hard in protest.
Well, of course. I mean, I haven't seen that again, but then again, I don't really pay attention to the news. I try to avoid it at all costs. But anybody who is going to take that effort to write those letters and do that, all that stuff, probably will do so because they think, hey, it worked the last time, because that's one of those things that I don't think they were really pushing that hard the first time this came out when they started talking about first making it a Schedule I. That's usually how they kind of work this stuff. They kind of float these ideas to see, to gauge the reaction, and enough people started making a fuss that they quickly, right away, it didn't even take like a lot of calls to congressmen or anything. It just took enough social pressure coming up that they were just like, okay, we're just gonna reevaluate for a few months. So now they're gonna bring it back up. And also, likely, if they're bringing it back up, if the government's bringing it back up, there's a good chance it's because they're trying to distract you from something else. So there's always that angle to look
That's always their strategy, right? That's what they do all the time. I mean, I've seen it here in Mexico, and I've seen it in Venezuela too. They just put out these test balloons and see how
public
reacts, and you know they have unlimited resources, so they can bring the issue over and over. They can bring it up over and over, and you can only fight it so far, right?
Yeah. Well, it's the tail wagging the dog is what it is, and for as much as people like us would talk about the politicians just being puppets on the string for the elite or whatever, really it's the general population that are the puppets, because the politicians, whether it's intentional or not, they say something and people get whipped into a frothy little Santorum and start losing their minds over it. And
ew.
and they start waving that flag really hard. I mean, the madder they are, the harder that flag waves. It's kind of like a dog with wagging his tail, and you know the happiness index of a dog wagging the tail.
Yeah, you can wave that flag so hard, so fast it catches fire, right?
I wish that would happen more often. Actually, that'd be pretty funny. Not that I'm advocating anybody get set on fire or anything, but still, that would be kind of. That'd be pretty funny, actually, if I watched somebody do that.
Well, you know,
well, I guess Trump has followed in Hillary's footsteps by saying that there needs to be anti-flag desecration laws and stuff okay. like that. So,
see, I'm glad you brought this up because I'm hearing like what seems to me as extreme desperation by Trump supporters or even people who have, like, you know, the whole anarchist community that supposedly had a preference for Trump versus really advocating.
I have a preference that they don't say stupid stuff anymore. I'm not advocating for closed mouths or shut mouths. I just have a preference that they shut the hell up.
Yes, but this is and there is something to this. But their whole deal right now is that this was just him trolling Hillary and her camp again, because
actually
she floated. She was the one. Didn't she sponsor the bill back in 2005?
Or she wrote 2006.
But there was nothing in that bill about loss of citizenship. I couldn't find it anywhere. So it's like if he's trolling them, he's stepping it up. To what end?
I personally believe that that is a troll Twitter account, because I know a lot of the stuff that I've seen on there is like it's very epic trolling. I mean, it's somebody who's probably copying what Trump would say, but the language is close. But there's just something that tells me that it's a troll account. It's not a real one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean. I guess
most it could be.
Most people assume it is because it was one of the verified ones, but I mean that doesn't necessarily mean that it is.
It's got like 100,000 followers or 300,000 followers. That's what I go by.
Yeah. So anyway, for all the people that were panicking about what would happen if Hillary got elected, now that Trump's in there, you're gonna see it.
Well, yeah.
He's gonna make the swamp great again. Because I guess he's already nominated Jeff Sessions, who thinks that people who smoke marijuana are bad naughty, people. Horrible people. They're bad.
No good people smoke marijuana.
Yeah. And I guess today he nominated some Goldman Sachs bankster guy. So
after railing against whatchamacallit, Cruz and Clinton for their Goldman Sachs connections.
Yeah. So anyway, meet the new swamp, same as the old swamp. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
And go on the sidebar of the Freedom Fiend site. We now have Amazon links for Amazon US, Amazon UK, and Amazon Canada due to popular demand. Worms.
Worms back.
Worms. We are back.
Yes, this is Jeremy Liu and myself, Hugo. I'm in Mexico City, and I've lived in Latin America my whole life, and I saw recent news about how the president was having closed-door meetings with industrialists, and it reminded me so much of how things are done here sometimes, and that got me a little worried. You know, it's if the president goes out and to, I don't know, the CEO of Ford Motor Company or the carrier, the business that makes air conditioning, and he just, you know, has a meeting and decides and I put this in air quotes with the CEO where the new factories are gonna be. I mean, can you just see a scene from a mafia movie of, you know, the guy showing up with a baseball bat? I don't know how you guys see those things. It's you cannot just go ahead and say, okay, this is my opinion. I'm gonna talk with this guy and advise him, air quotes there, to not move his factories out of the country. So I don't know. What do you guys think? It's
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, exactly. That
mobster, yeah, it's kind of like
it's right there.
It's kind of like the other night when Jeremy was having technical problems and he called me up or sent me a text message and said, "Hey, you awake? We need help." And I'm like, "Someday, I might, and that day may never come. I may ask you to perform a horrible service because I've done this service for you."
Yeah, you came up with, but what? When was the last time you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee? We do all this through the tubes, so no cup of coffee there.
I don't know.
Business gets really slow when you have to go through the president to.
Well, and normally, I mean, I know what you're saying about, you know, especially you've seen that plenty of times before, but I don't know. I mean, at least the persona he puts on with Trump, it just seems more like he's just that cocky businessman who just thinks, "Hey, I can talk to anybody. I can, you know, I'll talk to him. Not necessarily that it, in the mafia style, but just like he'll understand when because he's, you know, the art of the deal, greatest business seller. You know, I know business. Come on,
In the busybody, get his fingers in all the pies type manner.
Well, yeah, and he's gonna get to really relish that role now.
I'm wondering if he's gonna put up Kiyosaki for any job in government. You know, the guy who wrote the Rich Dad Poor Dad book, who then again wrote another book with Donald Trump. Because there's been news recently, and I don't follow them that even that much from here, from Mexico City, but there's been appointments, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there'll be
good
more
guys,
horrible
bad
ones.
Guys.
Well, they're all bad.
I heard.
Well, I mean, good guys don't. Good guys don't take those jobs.
Yeah. But I have some libertarian-ish friends here, and they were pretty excited because he appointed someone who was for a little bit of longer leash in education. So, I don't know if you guys heard about that.
The person he hired for the Department of Education or whatever that position was.
Who got that? My understanding is there's only been two actual nominations, and one being Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General, and Mnuchin or whatever as the Bankster in Chief. I mean, Secretary of the Treasury. Oh wait, there's no treasure there. Secretary of the Debt.
Yeah, I think I thought those were the only two, but the Department of Education one seemed to be pretty much sewn up by this one woman who was at first it was supposed to be somebody who other people were getting all excited about, and I'm like, no, she was pretty much one of the architects of Common Core. But this other woman is supposedly this, I can't remember her name, but she's a fundamentalist Christian as far as I know. All the articles I saw about it were written by left-wing organizations, so they're all like, she wants to destroy public schools, and I'm like, okay, well, that's a good thing.
I want to destroy public schools.
But then it was also they promoted very heavily that she was a fundamentalist. So it's like, okay. So it may not be the greatest thing in the world. Although they seem to be, at least it follows suit with what Trump allegedly said his plan for education was, with the vouchers for for kids who want to be able to do any type of schooling, you know.
Yeah, so that would be two birds with one shot, right? You know,
if it happens, sure.
Fundamentalists, and at the same time, you bring some joy to the libertarians, maybe.
Yeah, exactly, maybe. If it happens, great.
We'll be back.
I'll take it.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, have you heard about BIPCoin? Not Bitcoin, but BIPCoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. BIPCoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, BIPCoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. BIPCoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, BIPCoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to BIPCoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends. If you can't, chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends.
So the nice thing about the new Trump administration, the anti-establishment president, the best thing about him is you're not going to have to learn a bunch of new names, because they're just going to be the same old people who have been working around for all this time, for all these many, many years. You'll recognize them right off the bat. So anyway.
Now listen, he said he was going to drain the swamp. He didn't say anything about refilling it. So, you know, technically,
you can drain the swamp and leave all the creatures in.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Spray paint the gators pink, and that's, I don't know what that means. I just saw somebody post that earlier today. But anyway, so
the suggestion or a picture of a pink gator? Now I'm confused.
I think it was a suggestion. There were no pictures there, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
So do we want to keep bashing on making the swamp great again?
On the resident elect?
Yeah.
No, we can move on if you want. I don't really. Okay. We have plenty. Well, we have at least 4 more years to do that. So you know, we don't want to waste it all tonight, do we, Lou?
So anyway, speaking of pictures, I'm going to describe a picture to all of our listeners here, and hopefully I'll do a good job of describing it. It's a picture in the turn of the 20th century, and it's the caption is "Horse and buggy unions, if given the power, would have outlawed automobiles." And it's a bunch of workers, and they're holding up signs. One says, "H. Ford is killing jobs." What else does it say here? Oh yeah, workers' rights, no more automobiles. Carriage workers, local shop number 613. I don't know how accurate this is, if it's true. I've heard about the horse and buggy whip makers were complaining about Henry Ford and the automobile destroying their jobs. And this kind of goes back to the notion that I was talking about in the first segment, where people get all butt hurt over the notion that somebody else is making money, that they're walking away with worthless green paper rectangles, and all they're walking away with is enough stuff in bags that makes them tip over because they're kind of skinny and wiry, and it's, to be honest, a lot of stuff. So, and we've seen this all throughout history. Whenever new emerging technology comes out, the dinosaurs thrashing about in the tar pit, meaning the previous industries, always freak out. They're always like, oh my God, you know, this has to be stopped. So it's like when homeschooling becomes popular again, the teachers union starts screaming, no, these kids need an education. They need socialization. Oh, and they're not thinking, they're not really talking about socialization as in interacting with other people. They're talking socialization. But anyway.
Just conformity in general. It's not, you know, that's what they mean.
Yeah, so when you have this beautiful creative destruction, and Joseph Schumpeter talked about it, and he didn't talk about it in quite a positive light, but I believe he coined the phrase creative destruction, where new technology comes along and destroys the old, where the land-based mammals or the new animals come and as that dinosaur is just, you know, like neck deep in the tar pit, pushing his head down underneath the tar the last little bit of the way. Because dinosaurs suck. So anyway.
Sticking a branch out, not to help him, but to beat him over the head with it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, after that long intro, our next story is about Uber. And I think the official fiend position here on the show is, we like Uber. We think Uber's a great thing. Because it is taken. Yes. Yeah, because it's it's a solution to the problem of the taxi monopoly. It's the solution to the problem of if you want to get a cab in New York City, well, what are your options? You don't have any. They're all going to be high priced. The service is going to suck. You're going to have to wait a long time. If you're black, you might not get picked up. They might not go to bad neighborhoods, whatever. So just like the gypsy cabs before them, Uber and Lyft, ride-sharing applications are a wonderful innovation. And the buggy whip makers that work for Uber are trying to destroy them. Uber drivers are joining the protest for a $15 minimum wage.
What? And
this article's out of New York. Those working with the leading on-demand company have a demand of their own, a fair minimum wage. Uber drivers are planning to take to the streets on Tuesday as part of a broader protest calling for a $15 hourly minimum wage. Hundreds of drivers will protest along fast food workers, airport employees, and home care aides for what is being billed as a day of disruption.
Ooh.
So not creative destruction.
Scary.
Socialist destruction. So anyway, according to Fight for 15, the group organizing the effort, in San Francisco, Uber's hometown, drivers are planning to march at the airport with signs to say your Uber driver is arriving striking. Well, just as long as he arrives and takes me where I need to go. In other cities, drivers will idle their cars or march with low-wage workers from other sectors. Everyone says the gig economy is the future of work, but if we want to make that future a bright one, we need to join together like fast food workers have in the Fight for 15 and demand an economy that works for all. Justin Barisi, an Uber driver based in Denver, said in a statement. Now, I'm going to stop reading here for a minute. The whole thing about Uber is those are not employees.
They're contractors.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that when Uber drivers work, it's by their choice. Because a lot of people don't do it as a full-time gig. They do it as, I've got an extra couple hours to kill, or I'm not doing anything this Saturday night, so I'm going to make money by driving people around.
Yep. That's exactly what the bulk of the drivers are.
So they don't have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
They're not assigned to be somewhere at a certain time.
It's completely voluntary work at all times.
Yeah. They also don't get called in. There may be a possibility of an email saying, hey, there's a lot of volume, are you interested in working? But nobody calls you up and says, hey, you got to come to work tonight or else.
Yeah, and even if you decide to work, anything that comes across your desk, so to speak, you can still reject. You can still say, I don't feel like taking that one. I don't feel like that one. Like, you know, like it's completely voluntary. It's like the ultimate bossless job, essentially. We're not, you know, you're working for yourself, but you still have this umbrella over you, which is essentially what it is, and you're demanding that's essentially saying you're demanding that your customers need to pay, you know, your customers directly need to pay you at least that or more, like whatever. It's like, okay, so you want to tick them off too on top of everything else?
Yeah.
Demand.
Well, if they're demanding the benefits that you would get out of a job, do they really want to get pushed into actually working a job?
I don't know.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, why are they willing to forego these benefits or these advantages of being an Uber driver? I mean, are they willing to be called in for the job? Are they willing to agree to, I don't know, 10 hours, 8 hours, whatever number of hours a day it would take them for them to be a taxi driver? That's one of the questions I would have. You know, do they want to become just taxi drivers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
guess they.
I don't even know if taxi drivers get paid by the hour. I think they get paid by the work that they do.
Mm. So they were,
yeah, as far as I know,
more comfortable than taxi drivers.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah. But look who they're joining. Look who they're joining forces with. Of course, they want all that stuff. Because all these people keep saying they wanted it and acting like they have some kind of right to it.
So yeah, anyway.
You know, I can think of many strategies. Maybe they can push for the city to expropriate Uber and just, you know, be government employees. That's what they do in Venezuela's town. Actually, they do, and they become really dirt poor.
Well, actually, Uber itself is just an app.
Yeah, they're just a broker, right? For people who need
essentially.
So you have
an umbrella of just like they're, you know, they'll offer legal protection usually, at least they have been and stuff like that, and you know, you get they have the name. It's basically a branding thing that they own, really.
Yeah.
Not necessarily an active, you know, company per se.
So you don't really expropriate Uber. You expropriate all the drivers that are contracted with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to be sold into slavery. So.
Yeah.
Please, so anyway, please put your chains on me. Please do it. Come on.
Yeah. So anyway, back to the article. Uber has previously said that drivers in his top 20 U.S. markets make an average of more than $19 per hour. So if these people are demanding $15 per hour, but the average is more than $19 per hour, that kind of explains why they're hanging out with the fast food folks. But that doesn't include driver partner expenses like gas, car repairs, and insurance. Drivers in some cities have also complained that Uber's aggressive fare cuts make it harder to scrape by with those additional cost factors.
Okay, I'm sorry. This annoys the heck out of me as somebody who takes that wear and tear on their vehicle as part of his job. Like, it's part of your job. You have to expect that. You're going to take your vehicle and be mad that you have to pay these extra expenses? Like, that's insane. That's literally insane. You know, like, that's crazy. And I also know when I was a good little statist, and I followed all of, like, it tried to follow the tax code to a T, which is really hard to do because it's so impossible to understand, even for CPAs. You can write off almost all that stuff if you are taking that line of work. So if you're so worried about demanding a minimum wage be imposed on the company that has given you this opportunity to work for yourself, then you should subject yourself to all the wonder that is government. And you should also figure out that you have nothing to complain about because you can write all of that stuff off. So shut up and just make your money. And rant.
It's kind of hard not to sound like you're against the workers. Yeah, I'm putting quotes right there, also there, and yeah, but they're just being babies. It's hard not to say it that way.
Oh yeah, it's so insane. Okay, don't have a right to these things, people.
I mean, they can go to alternatives. They can use Self-401 and give up rights.
Yeah.
Any of the other companies, rather than go and cry to the government.
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Like these Uber drivers, because I'm scheduled every Wednesday night and I don't get $15 per hour. I'm not even getting 15 bips per hour. I'm not even getting 15 buttons per hour, but I'm here and I'm happy about it because not everybody
because you sound thrilled right now.
Not everybody has a radio show that they can go on and yak and promote their stuff and get their B on. So, anyway, Fight for 15 has organized protests throughout the country since launching in 2012. New York, California, Washington, D.C. have each voted to approve a $15 minimum wage. Ironically, those are also the places that are leading the way in touch screen kiosks replacing fast food workers. The latest Fight for 15 protest takes place just weeks after Donald Trump's victory. The president-elect flip-flopped during the campaign on the issues of raising the minimum wage and suggested the decision should fall to the states rather than the federal government. You know, there's a number of states that actually do have higher minimum wages than the federal government does. Michigan being one of them.
Yeah, because they make the decision to be even more ridiculous with setting minimums.
Yep. Going back to dinosaur thrashing in the tar pit, because I think I'd mentioned homeschooling and stuff like that. If you look at the quality of education that kids are getting in the government indoctrination gulags, yeah, I'm not going to limit it to just the indoctrination gulags, but the economic education out there is just absolutely ridiculous because it's either non-existent, because when I was growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of economic information. I took one economics class in high school, and I really didn't learn a whole heck of a lot. And from what I remember of it, it was the typical Keynesian nonsense that you get everywhere. But I think when you start looking at the emergence of Khan Academies and other homeschooling type things like Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom, the Ron Paul homeschooling curriculum, there's a lot of stuff out there. And I really think that with the information that's available, I'm hoping that there's going to be a market for a diversity in ideas. I'm hoping that people are going to say, hey, you know what, maybe this just isn't really working out so well. Maybe the experts aren't quite so right, because after all, they failed to predict all these different catastrophes, but they sure were the ones that had all the answers on how to fix it after it happened, and they didn't predict that it would happen, or they didn't stave it off. Because that's how I got to the point of having an actual interest in economics. I had a little bit of an interest because I wanted to start saving and investing, so I wanted to know how the economy worked. And I looked at the typical mainstream stuff that you would get. But probably after 2008, when the bubble broke and all this other stuff, and I happened to stumble across Tom Woods on the Glenn Beck show, because that's back when I was a statist neocon. But anyway, here he is talking about the Forgotten Depression of 1920 and 21. And I'd never heard of this, because this isn't the sort of thing that they teach in school, because you didn't have a whole bunch of interventions and all that other stuff. I mean, for the most part, Harding and Coolidge were just like, whatever, you know, do your thing. They didn't jump on it. So, and also, Wilson had been incapacitated due to a stroke, couldn't have happened to a nicer person, and so he didn't do anything. So, it's hearing about that and looking at these different things, these different explanations, that is what drove me to have an actual interest in understanding economics. And that's why I don't go around saying stupid humor like, well, we have a trade imbalance with Mexico, because America doesn't trade with Mexico. Buyers trade with sellers.
Yes. Well, I think it happened to, well, at least to a small extent, I saw it with the, I don't know if as many of them think of it in the terms that you just described, like that level of recognition. But I know, at least around me, with the Common Core stuff, a lot of people were ticked off, and a lot of moms, and I met a lot of moms and dads through that whole process, like hanging out at their rallies and trying to help them, like actually, like, you know, get their message across and stuff, and then also dropping other suggestions their way about taking it further. But there were quite a few that actually started to, like, you could see them starting to put the pieces together because they started digging and they actually started looking for ones, just like you said. So hopefully there'll be more. You know, the more dumb things the government does, the more people will wake up.
There you go. Any thoughts?
Silver lining. Silver lining for things going downhill. But that's okay.
We'll silver lining. Here. Silver lining, Bitcoin lining. We don't care.
We'll be back.
Ross Ulbricht was sentenced to life in prison for operating the Silk Road. But that's not the end of the story. Ross is trying to get out, but he needs your help. The Free Rossathon is happening Sunday, December 4th from 2 to 10 p.m. Eastern, featuring Roger Ver, Cody Wilson, Doug Casey, Tom Woods, and dozens of equally seditious speakers. Go to freeross.org right now and register for this free event. It's a fundraiser for Ross's appeal, so prepare to be inspired. freeross.org. That's freeross.org.
Second hour. This is Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Kratom-fueled Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, which is also fueled by Kratom. High atop Financial Beast Plaza, which is built on a foundation of Kratom, on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017, where Kratom is mined, and the Alpha Centauri region, where Kratom is completely unregulated and protected by black markets. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm Lou, and welcome back to Jeremy. Hugo was here with us for the first hour, but he has had to go to bed.
Hugo.
Yeah. Buenas noches, Hugo. He has to get up early in the morning and do things. So, anyway, welcome back. Second hour, we're yakking here. So, did we want to cover anything more about the education system? And how it's the dinosaur thrashing about in the tar pit. Actually, it's a dinosaur with, like, one foot in the tar pit and the other on a banana peel.
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, I could go on about it for hours, but we don't have to. We could move along. I think it's pretty much beating a dead dinosaur, I guess, at this point.
Well, we could go on for 5 more minutes and then move on to other things.
Oh, we could. Well, you know, like I said, it started with, you know, Trump's appointment. Like I said, I don't really know the woman, but what I've read about her, she's a fundamentalist. I don't think much is going to change. They're not, you know, it's not education. I hate that word. It's schooling. We say indoctrination. Well, yeah, but it's, even if you want to be nice, it's still schooling. It's not an education. Because an education doesn't end. An education is something you do over your lifetime, you know, if you actually want to, you know, further yourself in any capacity, you're constantly learning stuff. But
yeah, as Mark Twain said, I never let school get in the way of my education.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we're unschooling my kids, and it's, you know, so far, I mean, although the state does like to send us letters every once in a while asking us, you know, so what's going on? It's like, no, leave us alone. But, you know, it's going well because they're, you know, of course, there's family members on both sides that are upset, and you know, oh, how could you do this? And they're not even learning to do this yet. I'm like, yeah, but they're doing all these other things. Are any of your kids doing this stuff? Well, no, but okay, so shush. You know, like, they're actively, you know, my dad's here in town, and he was just talking about this today. Like, I was like a freak of nature. Like, my parents didn't understand. Like, I started learning at like 4 years old or so to read on my own because I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And by 5, I was a very, like, more than competent reader at 5 years old. And they were both like, nobody in the family was like this on either of our sides. Like, what happened here? So,
but
like,
Jeremy.
Yeah.
What? If you don't send your kids to the public schools, who's going to teach them to pledge allegiance to the government's flag?
Well, yeah, that's one of the parts I want to avoid.
Is that one of the parts that your family gives you Schumer over?
No, honestly, that they don't care about, thankfully. They're more of the common, you know, the socialization and how are they going to, you know, they're not doing, you know, they're not reading at this level yet. I'm like, yeah, okay, great. I'm like, but they're now actively asking and wanting to learn on their own. You know, they're all about their letters, and what, you know, one of them is really hardcore about wanting to learn how to write. She's like determined to learn how to write her letters so she can start writing, you know, her own words and stuff. And the other one wants to do other things that, you know, she's like doing math stuff, like figuring out things in her head and just looking at me, giving me answers. And I'm like, I didn't teach you that. And I asked my ex, I'm like, did you teach her that? She's like, no. I'm like, she's literally just figuring out all this stuff, you know, because it's great. We do, like I said, we do the unschooling thing. To teach them math, I don't sit them down and do lessons. When I cook, they hang out with me. and we do measurements. When I take them shopping, we talk about stuff as we walk up and down the aisles. We count things, and we, you know, we talk about prices, and we talk about, you know, when I pay for things and getting change and stuff like that. And it just, it comes up naturally. And it's because they want to learn. They're asking me questions about it, mm-hmm. which is great. And that's how you, that kids are, it, this is like kind of, you know, you want to talk about settled science with all the other idiot stuff that these crazy people talk about. Like, this has been pretty much proven time and time again that kids on the whole are such better learners when it's something they want to learn. Because, yes, are they like sponges, like the whole, you know, the thing that people talk about? Yeah, to an extent. But most kids are so much better and so much more apt to learn more and want to learn more if it's something that, you know, they're not it's not forced upon them, you know. But that's the way it's done, and that's why the parents don't get it. What? I was forced upon me and I turned out fine. No, no, you didn't. If you think it's okay to force it on your kids, no, you didn't turn out fine.
You turn into a violent authoritarian. You're more Feinstein'd up than a soup sandwich. But it's really interesting because I just listening to all the things that you're talking about there. I mean, we could probably talk the rest of the show just about homeschooling. You mentioned the socialization issues. Okay, what's the teen pregnancy rate amongst home-educated and unschooled children?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the drug abuse rate?
Mm-hmm.
And even including the teen pregnancy rate or teen birth rate for even the religious fundamentalist kids that have it shoved down their throat and they wind up getting knocked up out of rebellion. Even if you factor them in there, the pregnancy, you know, the teen pregnancy rate is a lot lower.
Overall, as well, yeah, as the absolutely.
Drug abuse and everything. And more importantly, what winds up happening is because kids are not getting constantly bombarded with all this violent authoritarianism, theoretically, because chances are if you're homeschooling, you probably tend not towards that unless you homeschool because you're a religious fundamentalist and the public schools just aren't status enough for you.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there are those people, but yes.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is, when you're looking at these kids, and as you said, kids follow along with the things that they're interested in. I really did not read for pleasure, for enjoyment, for many years after I graduated high school. I didn't even read fiction books for the most part. I'd read something here and there, but it wasn't a big part of my life like it was later on. And I personally, when I think back on it, I attribute it to the government indoctrination gulags beating that curiosity out of me.
Sure.
And as far as learning, I mean, when they're kids like that, that's the best time to learn a language, mm-hmm. to learn multiple languages. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen kids that were 12 years old and they're fluent and serviceable in two or three languages because they're at the age when they can do that, especially when they grow up in a multi-language home.
Yeah. I was listening to some podcast where they were, it probably was either School Sucks or it might have been Tom Woods recently, where they were talking about that and the whole thing, you know, the idea, like, yeah, once you reach a certain point, it's almost near impossible to learn a new language, or at least a lot harder.
I think CJ mentioned it.
Oh, was it CJ's then? Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, that's what, okay.
I don't remember which podcast it was, but he had mentioned something about that. And as somebody who has studied languages, I know exactly what he's talking about. I mean, When I was in my 20s, I had a heck of a time learning German. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I had very little trouble learning Spanish. If I were to try and sit down with, I don't want to say Russian because Russian is really difficult. If I were to not go with a Central European language, I don't know. Maybe something Northern European. If I were to try and do that where I don't have any type of a basis already, because with studying French, Spanish, and German, I pretty much got Central Europe covered. Mm-hmm, so, yeah. Anyway. If I were to try and do like Norwegian or something like that right now, I'd get my butt kicked. I'd have a hell of a time.
Well, yeah, and that happens at a relatively early age, because once you've for the most part mastered one language, it makes it so much harder to retrain your brain to understand a completely one that has, like, you know, even if it has a somewhat of a basis in it, it makes it so much harder because your brain's just trained that way. And to retrain it, it becomes a lot more difficult, you know, so... I wasted that. I took 3 years of French when I was younger and don't remember a darn thing about it. And I never learned another language. So
yeah,
I'm almost 40, so I'm screwed.
In a lot of cases, when you become an adult, you're past your peak when it comes to learning things like that.
Yep.
I think, what was it that I had heard? Like child geniuses, math geniuses, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, once they hit 35, they are past the super special stage because they're not going to accelerate anymore. Yeah, most importantly, they're not going to accelerate anymore. They're probably not going to have any great discoveries or anything like that. For the most part, I'm sure there's probably the occasional freak of nature that's able to keep building on stuff and keep doing all sorts of things. But for the most part, once you reach a certain age, you're just fighting to maintain.
Well, sure. But, I mean, math is a special field. I mean, you can go pro at 10, I think. So, you know, when you think about it, that's a 25-year career.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't get a lifetime pension. You don't get 25 and out.
This is true.
So,
well, see, that's going to be the next fight.
Yeah.
We started fight it for here, 25. Folks. You heard it.
So, but you'd also mentioned the different learning that your kids get when you're out and about doing things, going to the grocery store. And there's just so many little lessons there in there. And the way that they ask questions, they're kind of like machine guns with questions. They don't ask all these questions because they're trying to irritate you. They ask all these questions because they're curious and they want to learn.
Exactly.
And when you have a parent that says, you know, would you just leave me alone? Or after you spend all this time teaching your child to walk and talk, you have a teacher that tells them to sit down and shut up. And discourages asking questions. Well, because they're at such a young an impressionable age, and they also want to please. So that's why they're very open to suggestion on many things. That's why they won't question, you know, why am I pledging allegiance to the government's flag? What's a republic? What does allegiance mean? The reason that they don't do that is because they are eager to please, and also they see teachers as the authority figure.
Well,
because if the parent goes to the school and talks to the teacher with deference, then obviously the teacher is a higher rank than the parent. So in that regard, I think the schools are designed to cut the parents out, both for several hours a day and then also in the mind of the child by making the teacher, the government agent, the authority figure. Mm-hmm. But and we're going to be going to break in about 3 seconds. So I'm going to continue when we come back with a little story about everything you need to learn about life you can learn on the farm.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends. If you can't, chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo, India, Papa, coin.org.
I'm not
advocating for closed mouths or shut mouths. I just prefer that people don't talk to me.
For privatized ones, you know, I have my wall around mine, so leave me alone.
Build a wall around my ears, or build a wall around your mouth.
Exactly.
And make Mexico pay for it. So if anyway.
If I really need to talk to you, I'll yell over it, okay?
If I want to talk to you, I'll send you an email or a text message. Oh, God. Well, it's like I'm a smoker again. I'm having coughing fits over here. So,
hey, I'm 2.5 weeks off analog cigarettes. Go me.
So, are you completely nicotine free and tobacco free?
I'm tobacco free. I'm still on my very low dose of vape, but I'm slowly weaning off that. I'm going to switch to just CBD oil. So,
okay.
But
well, whatever it takes. And don't quit quitting.
I'm not. I'm working on it. Slowly but surely.
But anyway, so everything you need to know about life, you can learn on the farm. A dear friend of mine who passed away this year, he was an old guy. He was probably pushing 80 when he passed. So anyway, a friend's father. So a friend that I grew up with, it was his father, and I'd spend a lot of time just chatting with him over the years because I'd see him at the restaurant when I go for coffee in the morning, and we'd just shoot the humor and have a good old time, and I really learned a lot from him because he'd seen a lot of things, done a lot of things in all of his years, and he just had a lot of really good experiences to share, and he was really good at sharing those experiences. He could explain it in ways that things made sense. And one day we were talking about schooling and everything. I was still a statist at the time, so I'm thinking, well, if we don't have government schools, how are children going to learn to read and write? But, you know, had I always lived in a world where infants were taken away from their parents at birth and put in infant training school, you know, I probably would have said, well, how are children going to learn to walk and talk without the infant training academies? You know, checkmate libertarians and anarchists. So anyway, he's explaining to me, he says, you know, most of my education, and I don't think he finished high school, because he would have been born in the 20s, I think it was, something like that. No, not that old. Probably early 30s, something like that, late 20s, early 30s. Anyway, he's talking about how it was growing up in a farm in Northern Mitten. That's the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Northern Michigan is where I live. Northern Mitten is down where the trolls are. The trolls live underneath the Mackinac Bridge. So anyway, he's talking about what it's like growing up on a farm, and he says, yeah, I learned everything that I needed to know there. You know, I got my basic education there because when the tractors and equipment broke down, you had to repair it. And when you're trying to work stuff out, you know, certain things, there's mathematics that's involved in it. He's talking about how you're learning different physics, because if you have to make a fulcrum for lifting things and trying to get gears to work and all this other stuff, because when you own a farm, you don't go calling the repairman for every darn thing on earth. You have to do a lot of it yourself, otherwise you go broke trying to pay for somebody to do all this stuff. So there's your basic math and things like that. And then, of course, if you're raising animals, then you get your biology, because you're going to learn about all the parts of them as you're cleaning them. You know, in biology class, they call it dissecting. Out on the farm, they call it getting dinner ready. And it sounds silly, but that's how it is. And you learn all these different things about the animals that you're raising. And you have to communicate with people, because customers are going to come by and they're going to make a deal. So you're going to learn business skills. You're going to negotiate. And you're going to do all these things by the age of 12 that most high school graduates of today have only even read about and they haven't actually done. But you're going to be proficient at age 12 growing up on a farm like this guy did.
Yeah. Well, exactly. It's like, you know, young, well, not so young anymore, Nick. You know, I mean, he went to school too, but he learned so, like, he talks about all the time. He's learned so much more being out there and just doing things out there, you know?
Yeah.
And living that lifestyle, and, you know, You do. Even if you start a little bit later, like anytime, you know, just like what we were talking about with languages before, you know, if you start, anytime you start younger, you just, there's so much more to learn. And again, if it's not forced on you, it's just, you're so much more open to these things. And
yeah. But the thing is, the information is useful and practical.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It has real-world applications. I mean, quite frankly, if I don't think too many people are going to come up to you on the street and say, you know, when did Abe Lincoln, if he actually existed, deliver the Emancipation Proclamation that didn't actually free any slaves?
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yes, we are. We are back. Yes. What were we talking about before we went to break?
We're still going on about education.
Okay. Yeah, everything you need to know you can learn on the farm.
Yes, that's exactly.
Because nobody's going to come up to you and say, when did that guy, Abe Lincoln, who never existed, free the slaves?
Yes.
Because he didn't. But anyway, so moving along with a completely unsmooth segue, our next story comes to us from the Rutherford Institute. And this isn't exactly breaking news, but it's something that I wanted to comment on because it's been a couple weeks since I've been on the show as a regular host, and I popped in there for a little while with you earlier in the week, but that was mostly just hanging out. So anyway, a number of news sites have been listed as fake
Fiend
news.
Phone. Fiend
and
phone.
It appears that the fake, the
this
fake news would be
furries or Kratom random re-education interruption exigency, Lisa. Hey, Kratom kids, what's up?
Hey, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hey. Lisa, what a deep voice you have.
Lisa, oh, Lisa got droned by bad weather.
Oh, darn. That's the Kratom. Did you check weather.com to actually see? It was the Kratom. The Kratom.
I trust her.
I trust her, too. It was the weather, and the Kratom couldn't get through to her.
Well, actually, the government was dropping Kratom in the chemtrails.
Yeah.
And that's what caused the bad weather, which caused the internet to go out.
Yeah, well, today, December 1st, which it already is everywhere we're doing the show, yes, is the end of the comment period for the federal government for Kratom, where you get to write in and tell them your opinions so they can write down your address to kick in your door next week when they outlaw Kratom, eventually, yeah, allegedly.
Well, they are talking about it again.
What's that?
The comment period, is that where you write to them and they ignore your words?
No, they're not ignoring your words. This time they're writing your name down so they can kick in your door when they find out.
Okay. Okay. Will they ignore your pleas?
Yes. That, those are
your,
the
your pleas for leniency.
And I'm not even going to say allegedly. It's just yes. So I know you guys have important political things to talk about, but I woke up after... I had an interesting week, so I got in a car wreck.
What?
Oh, Jeremy, you're not on the CCs anymore because you're on probation.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Well, I'm glad you're talking, so that means you're okay,
yeah,
I
okay.
guess. But,
yeah, the
okay,
car good. Is not. The car's in the shop.
Oh,
I mean, it's not totaled. It's just, it's going to be like $800 plus.
That's work. Still a lot of money. That's
yeah,
not.
It's, you know, yeah. It was one car accident. It was black ice. It was one of those
racist.
Why does it need to be black? It was actually, it was incognito because it was covered with a little bit of snow. It was white ice. It was black ice pretending to be white. Like Obama.
White face.
Like Obama.
More like Michael Jackson.
Yep. Obama pretends to be white and then makes you wreck your car. See, that's why I'm really glad that we have an audience, but we're not really popular. Like, people complain, oh, I wish they were more popular. I don't. Because that comment is going to just, people are going to say, oh, really, Michael? But that's it. Like, if we were five times or even, like, yeah, like five times as popular, there'd be people outside my house tomorrow with signs. All right, so, yeah, I'm okay. It was one of those giant trucks like Lou has that takes up 1.25% of the road was going by me, and he was not even totally in his lane, so I kind of swerved and ended up losing control and going into a curb going probably 25 or 30 miles an hour, and it kind of shook me up. I was kind of like, ugh, still kind of am, but and I was stone cold sober. Yes, Cash Newman was not my co-pilot, and it was bad, man. It was good though, considering this car wreck show. But then, so that happened, then I had to go get my ear poking today. So,
oh,
Lou talked to me right after I had it done. I was in a great mood, wasn't I, Lou?
Oh God, you're a whiny little beep. Yeah, no, you weren't in a great mood. You were kind of unhappy,
especially since I was helping you set up the new version of Fiend Phone, which I'm calling Braden 2.0. It's the version that we'll hopefully keep next time. Like people like Braden, who are great hosts, but have to probably buy more internets, are sending us bad packets to the server. Instead of the server saying, "I quit, I'm going home," and shutting down and crashing, it'll say boink and kick Braden off or kick whoever off with the bad packets and just go. So it's now it's going to be a libertarian meritocracy now, where before it was kind of like communism in that, you know, it didn't raise everyone up. It brought everyone down to the level of the worst internets. Yeah. And, you know,
so in other words, it's like socialism. Yeah, it's affirmative like action.
Yeah. So when things didn't work very well, it failed. And even sometimes when things were working well, it failed. So Lou is the only person using it. You, Lou and GCN server. So, but soon everyone will be using it. And then eventually there'll be an update on the Fiend Phone site. And then I will not answer any questions if people have. Fiend Phone is.
I think that's excellent.
Did you get a chance to get loaded with Lisa?
Loaded with Lisa. Is that the new wave band you guys are listening to?
Does she have the new Fiend Phone yet?
Oh no, no. She could be on tonight if she had. Probably. She didn't answer my pleas. She was out she was out by her mailbox in the snow waiting for the mailman. Probably for some reason. I could make fun of her because, you know, I've been there days ago. So so I had this procedure today. So remember I said that they diagnosed what all my problems were last year, 2 years ago, was like a year and a half ago, was called status asthmaticus.
Yeah,
which is like severe asthma that doesn't respond to normal treatment.
Status asthma.
Yeah,
status asthma.
I like that. The worst kind. So
it's a progressive. It's a progressive disease.
But I'll
yes. So somebody made a meme of like if that were the name of a black metal band, because it really sounds like a black metal band. So I have this problem with my inner ear that I think would be the best name for a what would you call it, for an industrial band. So somebody sent me today a really dear friend of mine, sent me a CD. So I come back from the ear doctor, and like a week ago, he sends me the CD. I go to the P.O. box. DJ drove me. I couldn't drive. I was like, it was such an extreme procedure. I couldn't drive afterwards. because it affects your inner ear and your ear and your balance. So, which is probably part of why I got in a car wreck, because the problems with my ear are filling up with pus, my middle ear, to the point where it sounded like I had an earplug in when I didn't, which happened before. Then they poked a hole. How metal is this? They poked a hole 5 months ago in my eardrum, sucked out the pus, and then put in a little grommet, like a little tube with a hole in the middle to keep it open but allow pus to flow out. So 5 months later, you know, even after like taking care of it and washing as normal as they tell me to, it filled up again over the 5 months. So I had to have it done again. And I did some Googling yesterday, since this is now a part of my life, apparently. The filling your ear filling up with anything, any foreign material, but especially pus, there's a name for that, and it's let me find it. It's horrible. It's and this is what I think should be the otitis media, otitis media. And I think the word otitis is something to do with ears, and it's probably where the word tinnitus comes from. But I think otitis media would be a great name for an industrial music record label. So he sends me his CD. Like, I'm thanked in the liner notes on this. I really want to like it. I put it in after coming back from having, you know, it's not that painful of a procedure. The most painful part is when they stick the needle in your ear and inject with Novocaine a couple, like three or four times inside your ear. Then they wait for it to numb. Then they pull out, literally, you know, with the surgical $900 equivalent of needle nose pliers, they pull out the grommet. Then they use a little vacuum cleaner tube and suck the pus out of your ear. That sounds like a jet engine. It's louder than the loudest metal band I've ever heard. It's horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound pleasant at all.
Yeah, and then they put the grommet back in. So I come home from that, and I'm like, oh, God, that was horrific. You know, what a great week. Like, car wreck, I'm still, like, wasn't in pain from it, but it was kind of like I was still crunchy physically from it and kind of emotionally. And then I have this procedure done in my ear. Then I put in my friend's band CD. Like, I really want to like it. I'm thanking the liner notes. The guy's a really good friend. I put it on. It's industrial music that's mostly white noise and clanking metal.
Oh, no.
I do some needle drops. It's one song that's 45 minutes long that's largely, it sounds like it's good music and it's very well recorded. It's good audio of what would be horrible audio to me right now. It's mostly like percussive kind of stuff made of white noise and clanking metal. So if any, I don't want to throw it away. I want to give this to somebody. If anybody wants to, I want to shout it out too. I want to say the name of this.
You like white noise and clanking metal.
I will send you. If you like, do it, Jeremy. Do the late night ad. I can't even do it right now. If you like.
Kids, do you like white noise and clanging metal? Well, we've got the band for you. Call right it's now. 555
Lifestyle.
Fiend.
Records Hardcore Lifestyle by Ombiescence. 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 Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends Radio Show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with AgoristHosting.com.
Yeah. I am no longer taking freedom. I'm done
for the night.
My 7-minute chip. I'm done.
I still haven't gotten any. Allegedly.
So I added Angela to this just in time for her to quit.
Allegedly.
Oh, wait. Here, let me put. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, awesome.
So Angela's on this app, but I was going to secretly replace her with Lisa.
And am I on there?
Other lady laugh tracks. No.
Secretly replace her with Lisa, kind of like you did with replacing Babs' commercial with hers.
Did I?
Yeah. The day after you fired him, you had a feature commercial.
I will salt the earth. You were never here.
That's why when I heard you, I told you I would go back and listen. I would start listening again. I just hadn't caught up, and I started listening again, and I heard you talking the other day about it. And I don't try to scrub them from the earth. I'm like, what are you talking? I'm like screaming at my phone. I'm like, what are you talking?
One time, I never tried to scrub you. And I don't.
No, not me. I didn't say you did to me.
I edit him out of 100.
No, I know. You said that, but you just like
not just because it'd be too much work, but yeah, I said that. You know, when I was writing this, I've been writing this white paper. Have you read the white paper yet, Jeremy?
No, Michael, I have not. It's on my agenda. It's on my agenda for this weekend.
Distributed DNS into Bitcoin and do what Namecoin couldn't do. And there's like 8 places in this 30-page paper where I do a sentence or two of like, or 5, of what's wrong with the people on the Namecoin team. And basically, like, the best thing I could say about them is that they're brilliant. They're like Einstein, but have no common sense, like how Einstein used to walk out in the snow in his bare feet. But Einstein actually made things that people used, like the math of how to make the atomic bomb, whereas Namecoin has never been used by anyone except the Namecoin team, myself, and people on, you know, like Derek Slopey, for actually doing distributed DNS. So at one point in the footnotes of this thing, it only has 3 footnotes in 30 pages. One of them is saying, you know I bash the Namecoin team in this a lot. It's not personal. But you can't talk about what needs to be done right without talking about how they personally made mistake after mistake after mistake, even though they're brilliant. And then after a couple readings of it, I went and took out the it's not personal. Because no. I was thinking, I don't want to lie in a white paper. It partially is personal because I had dealings with these people. I mean, I raised a bunch of money for them and wrote their tutorial on their, you know, Free Speech Me, and named Free Speech Me the thing they came up with to actually view .bit domains 3 years after it came out. And they, like, they tried to not pay me. They talked to an attorney, like, can we not pay this guy? Because he's overdoing another open source project that's similar using different code. Like, these guys license their stuff open source, but then like get upset if like they somebody else too, like one name, this company tried to do something cool on the Namecoin blockchain that's huge now. It's helping run Open Bazaar. But and like if they let them do that, Namecoin would have ended up working to the public. But it's failing, and I come here not to praise Namecoin, but to bury it. I'm gonna kill it the rest of the way. But I took out the thing that said it's not personal because I was like, it is. These people scrubbed my name from their website, kept all my tutorials and screenshots, spent more money hiring a lawyer to find out if they could not pay me what I had a written contract to be paid, and then paid me begrudgingly like the last day they possibly could when the lawyer said, looked at the contract and said, yeah, just pay this guy. And that was one guy, and his name was Jeremy. So I really like that you came to the table with that baggage in my life. Nothing about you, Jeremy, but
excellent.
So real quick, Lou, tell what happened about James Babb when you sent out, when Lisa couldn't do the show a half hour before, and you sent out an email.
I sent out an email to all the fiends that I could think of that popped up on the email list, and I'm like, 911, I need a co-host. Lisa's internet got droned. And James sent me an email back, says, I would have, I could, but I've been re-banned. And I'm like, huh? So apparently he was preemptively re-banned.
Yeah, he was banned because of Jeremy being banned, because It's Jeremy's fault. Nah, Jeremy made me remember how hellish Bab was to deal with.
I still miss Bab, and I'm sorry that you're triggered by those.
Great guy to have a beer with, from what I hear, and do some kratom with, but yeah. You don't want to be his boss in any capacity, is what I'm saying. He works, you don't want to tell him what to do. He won't. He'll intentionally go buy a banner.
He doesn't want you to tell him what to do.
He'll go buy a banner and hang it up.